Then we begin. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for gathering us once again for this basic Bible knowledge class. May thou be very merciful to bless our study, especially for those who are preparing for baptism. O God, I pray that thou grant them the spiritual vitality and the energy to attend the class faithfully. God, I pray that thou be merciful to make smooth pathway so that they may be instructed and be strengthened and be prepared. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible. The Bible is a record of the voice of God through the mouth of holy men, moved by the Holy Spirit to record for us what God wants us to know about Himself. You see, God is invisible. How do you know Him? Except He reveal Himself to us. And how does God reveal Himself to us? It is through His Word. That's why when we come to know God, having received the message of the gospel, then we need to be grounded to understand the will of God, the mind of God for our lives. God has a beautiful plan for all our lives. And He has given it, written it for our learning through His Word, right, the Bible. The Bible has 66 books, 39 of the Old Testament, and 27 of the New Testament. The books of the Old Testament may be divided like this: 39 books. All right. 5 books, the first 5 books of the law written by Moses. The next 12 books are what we call historical books. Then the next 5 book is what we call the wisdom literature. Okay. And then we have the prophetical books, which consists of the major prophets and the minor prophets. The major prophets and the minor prophets. So, quite easy to remember, right? 39 books of the Old Testament, 5, 12. Right in the middle is the heart of the Old Testament. And in the heart of the Old Testament, you would be able to see, right, there, the wisdom literature, the Psalms, the Proverbs, the book of Job, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. five of them. Right? And this forms the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, it begins with the Gospels. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then it has also the the Acts of the Apostles, which is the history of the church, right, which is what we are studying now. Right, give you the beginning of the church. And then you have what we call the letters, followed by the book of the Revelation. Okay. The letters are written to the local churches by the apostles to help address or to ground the believers in the practical aspect of Christian living. Okay, in our cottage meeting, we have been studying the book of James. Right? And you see in the book of James, there are many precious lessons to teach us about practical Christian living. What is true faith? What are the marks of a true Christian? And they go through many topics. All right? And so, then followed by what we call the last days, the apocalypse, or the book of Revelation. All right? And so this 66 books form the complete canon of Scripture. And the Bible is the only book, or the best-selling book of all time. And for us here, we use the King James Bible because we believe that the King James Bible is the best, the most faithful, accurate, and the most beautiful translation of the Bible. Now, you see this copy here, the one sheet. Now, this is Article 4 of our Constitution. And here you see in Article 4, 4.2.1.3, you see, we uphold the authorized King James Version to be the Word of God, the best, most faithful, most accurate, most beautiful translation of the Bible in the English language, and to employ it alone as our primary scriptural text in the public reading, preaching, and teaching of the English Bible. The King James Bible is the only Bible without copyright. And it's the Bible that was given to us through the blood of martyrs. Right? Men and women actually die in order to translate this Bible for us. And the Lord wants us to know, right, that the Bible is the best gift of God to mankind, because in the Bible is given to us the way to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as you read the Bible, the more you read of it, the more you would realize that this book is a supernatural book. That God is a supernatural God. That He created everything out of nothing. 6 literal days God created. And the Bible gives to us this truth. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Of, sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Is correct. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Okay. It says here, all scripture, shall we read together? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So our text tells us that all of the Word of God, right, not any single book, not any particular verse, but all of Scripture, right, is given by the breath of God. That's the meaning of the word inspiration. It is God-breathed. All right? So the word inspiration literally means God-breathed. Theonoustos. Right? God speaks, and holy men of God record for us. And so, the Bible is a received text. God caused holy men of God to write, and we received it. And it's important that we understand this fact, right, so that we will have no quarrel with what is inside, what is written inside. But we know that it is written for our good, our learning, our blessing. Right. Now, in what way is the Word of God beneficial to us? Right. Paul says that it is profitable. Okay, profitable. That means it will benefit you. Okay, it will benefit your life, right? Because it teaches you doctrine. Truth. The Bible tells no lies. The Bible gives you the truth, the doctrines, or what we call the principles for living. Right? The reason why men and women who would have professed faith in God and yet not know how to live their lives is because they have not learned the principles for godly living. So the Bible, first of all, gives us principles whereby we would be instructed in which we are to live by. And one of the good summary of the principles of God's word is the Ten Commandments. Right? Ten Commandments. The moral law. You know that the moral law is the law that is universally governing this world. Whether you like it or not, God judges us based on His law. Of course, there was a time when He gave His laws to us at Mount Sinai when Israel came out of Egypt. God gave the Ten Commandments in two tablets of stone written by the finger of God. And it was instructed to Moses to record these words. And so it teaches us the principles, right? Gives to us the boundaries whereby we ought to live, show us what is the godly way. All right, that man is made and man is put into a family. All right, and how we have procreation. Right? It explains to us the purpose in which we have our existence. Right. And so it teaches us the doctrines, the principles whereby we are to live our lives. That's why it is so profitable. Those who have problems in life is because they have forgotten the principles. They have not applied the principles of God's word in their lives. Right? The husband-wife relationship, the child-parent relationship, the employer-employee relationship, all the relationships that govern humankind, right, summarized in the Ten Commandments, right, the second tablet, man's relationship with man, right, is taught to us. And these principles also includes judgments. How do you judge a matter? What is considered fair? What is considered not fair? Right. So God says that you are to love God with all your heart and you are to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? You're not asked to love your neighbor more than yourself, but as you love yourself, love your neighbor. And that's enough. That's God's law. Right. And so you learn the principles whereby you know how to live fairly, you know, and you find that when you have God's wisdom, that ability to make proper judgments, you would be able to find peace with God and with men. Because these laws are really beneficial. Right. The laws that we have in Singapore, for example, right, we were being taught, right, that our law in Singapore comes from the Indian law, and the Indian law comes from the British law, and the British law comes from the Roman law, and the Roman law comes from God's law. Right. That's why capital punishment. Genesis 9, verse 6. If you take a man's life, you have to pay it with your own life. We have capital punishment. And there is order in society. You cannot do anything you like. And marriage consists of one man and one woman. That's written in God's law in the book of Leviticus. And that's where we derived our Article 377A. And the Lord wants us to know, all right, and understand, all right, that when the principles of God's law are followed, obeyed, God's blessing comes upon God's people. That's why you see, not only for individuals, but also for nations. Right. When Britain rise to be a global power, right, it was during those times when they loved the Word of God. The Bible was translated. The church was strong. England raised. When they departed from God, they also fell. Then came America. When America rise, it was because they had the Word of God. In the Constitution, for example, of Pennsylvania, is said, recorded, that you have to be a born-again Christian to be a statesman. You have not only to have God's law written, right, in your mouth, what you profess, but in your hearts. That's how they judge. And how America rise. The Ten Commandments is valued, taught in the schools. Prayer is taught in the schools. And you see how America rose to be the superpower of the world after the Second World War. Right? You see how Britain goes down. And then you see America now on the downward decline. Why? Because they have thrown away the commandments out of the classrooms. No more prayer. They even turned the law of God last year in June. Same-sex marriage was legalized. Great blow. When you have the principles of God's word, you have blessing. Today, you see China rising. For the last 20 years, there was opportunity for the gospel to be given to the Chinese people. And how you see China rise in the last 20 years. Albeit persecution, underground church, you see how God's word made a difference. God's law made a difference. And the Lord wants us to understand it is for nations, it is also for the individual. If you have the Word of God with you, written in your heart, it will help you. So Paul says, all scripture is given by the breath of God. God breathed it and is profitable for doctrine. It provides you the principles and it is also profitable for reproof. It shows you what is wrong with your life. When you have your quiet time, when you read the Bible, you'll find that it oftentimes causes you to feel uncomfortable. It points out to you your sins. It shows you where you are falling short. And it alerts you to where you have gone astray. For reproof. And so, you'll find that the Word of God is precious because it shows you, it provides a spiritual discipline to your life. You see that when you do not have spiritual authority, there's no spiritual authority. You do what you want, your law to yourself, and there will be chaos in your life. And so the Lord wants us to know, right, that when you have the Word of God with you, it shows you where you have gone wrong. And it corrects you also. It provides correction. Right? It's profitable for correction. So it will help you to turn away from the thing that is not right in your life and to allow you to repent and to correct what was deviating from the principles for your blessing of God, God's word. All right. And so you see that it will show you where you have gone wrong, and then it will help you to do what is right. Or it will cause you to have no peace in your heart. Right? The Spirit of God will use, for example, the lives of the characters in the Bible, right, to shine a light upon your own lives. To say that, hey, how come my life is also like that? You know, is there a lesson that I can learn from it? Is there something that I can profit? I know that this is where I've gone wrong. Okay. And so there is correction. So when you have the Word of God learned correctly, right, you'll find that it corrects the things that are not right in your life. Right. It gives you the Holy Spirit leads us very gently. You know, it shows us where we have gone wrong. And it enables us to come back to God. Right? There is in the Bible also, you know, what we call the motivation. The motivation to do the right thing. Right? And that is the correction part. Okay? That God help you to correct. Right. Correct. So first you have been pointed out by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Nobody knows. Right? You know in your own heart. Okay. And when you resist, you'll find that you have no peace in your heart until you surrender to God. Right? Correction. And after you have made right with God, right? Today we said Simon the sorcerer. He would not make right with God. His life was not right with God. But he refused to make right with God. But if we have the Spirit of God in us, we are genuinely a believer, then God will use his word to correct our lives. So for correction and for instruction in righteousness, to do the right thing. And it will show us how to do it. Okay. God's word never leave it vague for us. Right? But God's word is made so that it gives to us understanding in order that we may know him and understand how we ought to live our lives. And so you'll find that the word of God that is written, right, is profitable. Right? Profitable for instruction in righteousness. Meaning that it will show you, right, what is the right way to live your life. What is the right way in order to find favor with God and to find favor with men? Right. And then in verse 17 it says, that the man of God may be perfect. What do you mean by perfect? The Bible, that word means to be mature. To be complete, the word literally means to be complete. Right. That you may become spiritually mature. Right. And we all go through that process of gaining, right, in stature, gaining in spiritual stature, gaining in grace and the knowledge of God. Okay. That the man of God may be perfect, may be complete, may be matured, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Meaning that, you know, your life is a fragrance to the people around you. Right? In whatever role that you have, whether it is in your workplace, whether it's in your school, whether it's in your home, right, the Bible provides you the instruction, the know-how. Right? It's the user manual that is written, right, from the manufacturer. In order to use a new device well, we have to go to the user manual, right? From the user manual, we are able to understand how to properly use the device. So God is the one who made us. And you may say, oh yeah, is it too late? Now, you realize that in the life of the Christian, it is never too late. God always has his perfect timing to work out our lives that it may be beautiful. Okay. And God wants us to know that. to have faith in Him and His Word.
Right.
So He tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God is the one who breathed it. It's not man's words. Right? Man's word, you find, will be lacking.
Right?
Substandard. Doesn't really help. But God's word is perfect. And therefore, it is able to build your life. And you are able to do good works. So that the day when you stand before God in heaven, when the Lord returns, you are ready to receive your rewards. And you know, God's timing is perfect in our lives. And we want to realize that because we are precious in the sight of God, God never left us on our own to suffer in the mud. He never, you know, allow us, unless we by our own volition, we choose. And we said, I don't want to attend class. I don't want to know God's word. I don't want to make a commitment to build my spiritual life. Then, cannot help, right? We must be willing. And so here is given to us the benefits of the word of God for your life. You can use it. You can apply it, and it will help you. So, there are people who ask, is the Bible a book of psychology? Is it able to solve the problems of the heart? Show me how to live my life better. Well, it is the best psychology book. Because God knows the makeup of man. If you were to go to the psychologist and psychologist books that is out there, you know, they begin with the wrong premise that man is good. But the Bible tells us that man is not good. He's depraved. He is sinful. You see, if you start with the wrong premise, you will end up nowhere. End up at the wrong place. Spare the rod, spoil the child. The Bible advocates the need to train the children from a young age to make time to help them. And we imbibe this wisdom to help ourselves so that we may be profited, right? That we may be strengthened. Okay. So God inspired His word, meaning that He breathed out His word. Do we have the word of God today? We have. The word of God was or is given to us, translated from the King James Bible in the English, the most faithful translation. And we use it for our profit to the exclusion of all the other modern Bibles. Why? Because of the question of purity. Right? There are 9,900 words that are missing in the Greek New Testament that is being used to translate all the modern versions. And there are hundreds of versions out there. And the Lord wants us to know, okay, that if you have a proper source, you would have a proper input. Right? We said garbage in, garbage out. Right? If you have not the right source of information, then how are you going to be profited by it? That's why we will not budge, we will not move. And the King James Bible is translated from the original Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic text that has been preserved through the ages for us. And so, where we have a physical limitation in understanding what the Word of God says in the English language because of language limitation. Like, for example, in the English language, we have to have a subject, a verb, and the object. All right? Subject, verb, and object. But in the original, you can put the subject in front, you can put it behind, you can put the object in front, right, for emphasis. And so we go back to the original in order that we may be able to understand fully. Right. But you would find that the King James Bible has done that for us. Because it is translated by faithful men, right, godly men, and by a company of godly translators with a correct technique, what we call direct equivalence, meaning that word for word, right, the modern versions are translated word for thought or thought for word. Okay. And you'll find that it is oftentimes misinterpreted. And therefore, we have to be careful. Right? And then we want us to see that God, having inspired His Word, didn't leave us without His Word, but He has preserved His Word for us. That's why, you know, we have it in our constitution. Right? We placed it in our constitution when we begin the church. Right? I've selected this constitution, okay, so that we are able to begin, right, on the right footing, okay, on the Word of God. And so, God gives to us His Word, and God also preserves for us His Word. Now, you know, when the first man wrote the first copy, after he wrote the first copy, what happened? Through time, through wear and tear, it is no longer existing. But God had allowed, right, what we call scribes, men who are given the whole sole task of copying out the Bible before the days of the printing press, right? To, you know, in the 16th century, the man Gutenberg invented the printing press in the fullness of time, right? And the first book that was printed was the Bible. You're right. You see? So that His Word can be kept pure for us, right? Through the ability, right, to have it scripted and not having to have someone to copy. All right? But you would find that the Word of God that is copied, right, we would say, right? We would want you to see and understand, right? The people who copied, revered the Word of God so much, right? That, you know, it's a very, very serious business. And so, because of the rigors in which they went through the process of right copying the Word of God, right, we say, all right, we want to understand, all right, that not the carelessness of the copyist, right, this is in your one sheet. Two pages here, right? Not the bottom, the thought. Not the carelessness of the copyist, but their carefulness. Right. Their carefulness. Okay. And God Himself, in His Word, right, tells us that He will make sure that we have His Word in order that we may be able to order our lives profitably. Okay, God wants you to order your lives profitably. And in order to do that, you need to know what does God's Word says. Right? So Matthew 5:18, Jesus recorded on the Sermon on the Mount, He says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." So, a jot is the smallest, is the what we call the yod. It's the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Okay. And the tittle is this tail here, right? This is two different words. Right? A tail can make a difference. And Jesus says that the smallest alphabet, the smallest writing, the sign of the alphabet, right, will not be what? Missing. Right, so this is the word Beth, and this is the word Keth. All right, Aleph Beth is the second word. Keth is something like a K in our English alphabet. Okay, so Jesus says, He affirms, right, that the Old Testament scriptures, when He came, right, all of it is intact. Okay, now you turn with me to Jesus said, 24:44, Luke's Gospel, 24:44, "These are the words which I speak unto you, which while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses," that's the first five books of the Bible, right, "and in the prophets." In the prophets, right? In the prophets, that's, you know, the 17 books that we saw, the major prophets, the minor prophets, and in the Psalms, right? Concerning me. So Jesus is saying here,
right, that all of His Word that is written in the Old Testament, right, is fulfilled in Him. All right, and all of His words that were written, right, is fulfilled, kept for us, so that we will not miss anything. And Jesus says this three times, right, in Mark 13:31. Mark 13:31 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Right? Mark 13:31. Three times the word of God says, Matthew 24:35. Again, it's recorded for us. Matthew 24:35. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And Luke 21:33. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So three times it's recorded for us in the Gospels, right, that God will not only inspire His words, but will also preserve His word for us. And that is why we must begin the study of God's word with the right premise from the word of God, the Bible. All right. But not any other Bible, but we use the King James Bible. Right. And the original text that underlies the King James Bible. And from there, by faith in these words, right, this is the Bible. We built our principles. Or our theology. And then it is from there that we make our application. Wrong principle, wrong application. Right. And it all begins here with the Word of God. So we must know our foundation. And then the Lord wants us to know that we are not to add anything or to subtract anything from His word, but we are to follow, right, what He has taught us to the jot and tittle. And He pronounced a curse on those who would add or subtract to God's word. Revelation 22:18-19. "For I testify unto you, unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book." So basically, this is what we want us to understand from the Bible, about the Bible. And we have given you the notes for you to read, right? This Bible that we have is not just, right, a book, you know, that teaches the best book to understand ourselves, but also scientifically, right? It is the book that is true and accurate. All right, you notice that the best schools in the world today, they all begin with the simple motive to train men and women in the Word of God. Right? And as they devote themselves to understand the Word of God and the laws of God that were written therein, that's where they develop the mathematics and the sciences. Right? When men kept with the Word of God, they will prosper. But if man thinks that he knows and he deviates from God and His Word, that's where they fall. So I urge you to keep in tune with God and His Word for your eternal good. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for giving to us the Bible. Lord, may Thou help us to cherish it, that it may be precious, and that we may take time to study it, learn it for our eternal profit, that we may be a complete man, a perfect man, a matured man, furnished unto all every good work. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.